true.
Summit County Justice Files.
Welcome to the Justice Files, your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons in the Summit County Justice Center, and we're here to inform and educate and engage with our community.
Now, Tom, before we get started, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, remember that everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity and the lessons learned. And yes, more than a few moments of law enforcement levity. Because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone. Unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes.
What's justice without levity?
Let's get into it. On the Summit County Justice Files, the stories that you hear are true. Let's start out with some interesting situations in a relationship. Well, actually, there's a couple of relationship stories on the Justice Files today.
Yeah, it's a little late past, Valentine's Day, but they are stories of lovers.
And the first story is about a woman who is assaulted outside of business in unincorporated Summit County by an acquaintance.
Yeah, it's funny. It always depends on who you ask, whether they're an acquaintance or are they in a relationship, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
This one was interesting because this is a woman that had ran into, well, she says a former friend. He says a former lover. Again, it's perspective.
Uh-huh.
But she ran into a former friend outside of a local grocery store. And they had not spoken in about a year. And she says that they drifted apart because the suspect in this case had romantic feelings for her. And she didn't reciprocate. She didn't feel the same way towards him. So they parted ways. So here they are now in a parking lot outside of a grocery store, a local grocery store here. And he asks her, hey, how you doing? And she says, oh, well, I'm married now and I'm pregnant.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't react. He didn't say congratulations. He did not react that way.
Oh, no.
His reaction was he told her that they could have had a good romantic relationship together and that he would have been a good boyfriend to her. And that she said, well, all I ever want to do is be friends with you. And that's why I kind of went my own way, because it's obvious that we feel two different ways. So they both went into the grocery store and she came back out and he got her attention and she turns around to see that he's calling her and he grabs her by the throat and throws her to the ground proceeds to, beat the crap out of her. I mean, literally, like, beat the crap out of her to the point where she goes to the hospital.
In the parking lot of the
grocery
store.
In the parking lot of the grocery store. Mind you, she's pregnant.
Oh, my gosh.
And I guess he just wanted to demonstrate how well he would have treated her had they been in a romantic relationship.
Right.
Right?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so, I mean, we tracked him down. We are in the middle of tracking him down. Some people are harder than others. I mean, we know who it is. We're just trying to find out in this transitory community that you and I live in where this person might be hiding out, obviously knowing that people witnessed this and that she was pretty badly hurt. So we'll find him and we'll arrest him.
What sort of charges is he facing?
Depending on the severity of her injuries.
Yeah.
Someone like this goes to the hospital, they go for a forensic investigation. A forensic exam by professional trained nurses in domestic violence, assault, trauma investigations, and they'll photograph and document all this evidence. And then we'll get a doctor's opinion on the severity of these injuries. And depending on the severity of the injuries is what the district attorney will end up charging.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, currently under investigation.
Currently under investigation.
Another relationship incident resulting in domestic violence in unincorporated Summit County about A woman picking up her ex-boyfriend when he came to her house to pick up a vehicle that he had left behind. What happened with this one?
Yeah, this is another one, a relationship gone bad. And, of course, when, you know, the deputies get called, it's, again, a he said, she said. And so, as, you know, we always do, we turn to the evidence. This is one where a former boyfriend left a car on a former girlfriend's driveway, and she wanted it moved. So she called him 52 times that morning.
Oh, wow.
Because that's what normal people do. Like, if I'm trying to get a hold of you, Tom, you don't answer. I'm going to call you 52 times. In a 90-minute span, she called him 52 times.
Wow.
Now,
what time of morning was this?
Early. I don't know about you, but to me, if an ex was calling me and they had called me 52 times in a less than a 90-minute period, I think that would be my first clue that she might be angry.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I haven't seen this girl. We haven't talked. We've broken up. And now all of a sudden my phone is just blowing up. So anyways, that was not the hint. They did end up talking. They did make arrangements. He had left a car of his on the driveway of her house, an extra car. He went over to go pick it up, and they got into a verbal argument. And she went into the house and came out with a jar of mayonnaise and threw it at him.
Okay.
He did what anyone would do, and he got in his car and went, "Forget this. I'm getting out of here. I'm driving away."
Right.
And when he drove off, as it turned out, because the stories did not unfold this way, but as it turned out, when he drove off, she proceeded to destroy the car that was on the driveway, the one he left. The one he came to pick up, but he left because he got mayonnaise thrown at him. She destroyed it, breaking the windows, you know, marking up the car, doing a lot of damage to the car. You know, the police were called. The deputy showed up. Of course, she gave a completely different story than he eventually gave. We ended up finding him driving away from the scene, of all places.
Right.
Stopped him, talked to him, got his side of the story. And it turns out that the evidence, as you will, in other words, the jar of mayonnaise, the marker, the rock, all this stuff was in her possession, not his, was by the car. So, you know, through our on-scene investigation, we were able to determine that she actually was the aggressor in this case. He was just trying to get out of there. And she was arrested for domestic violence because of the pre-existing relationship they had. So don't leave. You know, most people talk about leaving a toothbrush. Don't leave your car.
Right. Any valuable belongings, don't leave them behind when you're breaking up with your...
With
your significant other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And along the theme of love, Tom.
Right.
Yeah.
This is another story that, as we always say on the Summit County Justice Files, anything involving alcohol and drugs, it's usually not going to turn out well.
We're yet to cover a story that ends up well. Right. That ends up with a happy ending.
Yeah.
That starts with drugs or alcohol.
And here's another one.
It's not going to end well.
No,
I just have that feeling.
Couples had consumed some psychedelic mushrooms and
couples,
alcohol.
Couples, Tom.
Two, so that's couples.
Amazing.
So that's four people then.
That's four people.
Four people. So one of the women went to bed. The other three continued to socialize. Then what happened?
So here's two couples that decided to spend a night together, a late night drink and eating mushrooms, because that's always a good idea.
Sure.
Especially late at night. You've had a few drinks. You've been drinking all night. You think, hey, let's eat some mushrooms. Mm. One of the people, one of the females, this is two males, two females. One of the females decides she's got an early morning, got to go to bed. She goes to bed. The other three continue to party. And at some point, her boyfriend comes back into the bedroom where she is, and all of a sudden, because he's in the middle of hallucinating, thinks she's an intruder, doesn't recognize her, and proceeds to assault her to the point where the other two get so scared that they literally don't even grab their shoes, run out the door.
They're tripping.
They're watching this. They intervened to try to stop it, but when they saw this guy was out of control, they, looking out for their own lives, ran out the door and called 911.
So how bad did this get?
It got pretty bad. I mean, It took a while for the deputies. They secured the woman and made sure she was safe, the one that was being assaulted. But it took a few minutes to talk the guy down to where the deputies could take him into custody and learn that prior to him assaulting his girlfriend, that this guy had taken out a gun while he was on mushrooms.
Wow.
And the male of the other couple took it away from him and said, you know, it's probably not good that you play with a loaded gun while we're all tripping on mushrooms.
Not a good idea at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, just like the previous story we just talked about where the 52 calls in 90 minutes might have been the clue.
Right.
Maybe the clue when the guy picked up a loaded gun on mushrooms would have been the clue like, we should probably go.
Yeah. This party should end now.
But, you know, the mushrooms are so good and the drinks are flowing that
right.
you think, let's just put down the gun. Yeah. And as long as you promise to put it away and not pick it back up,
right.
we'll keep partying.
Gone, good.
And then later that turns into an assault.
Wow.
Yeah. So, again, the lesson here is anything that starts with drugs and alcohol usually doesn't end well.
And there are some people that are out skiing under the influence as well. That happens as we live in the resort area. Summit County has many ski resorts within its boundaries. We've got Keystone, Breckenridge, Copper Mountain, Arapahoe Basin.
Yeah.
And they're still
and Loveland rocking. Right on the border.
Yeah.
And Vail not too far.
Yeah. Keystone's the only one that's closed at this point of the season. We've still got Loveland open, Copper, Breck. And A Basin, they're going to be going until June, probably.
So, yeah, and we're expecting more snow.
Yeah, it's coming.
Let it
we're
snow.
Not done with winter yet in the high country. Keystone Ski Patrol, before they shut down the season, they had an encounter.
Yeah, you know, they call us, obviously, when they encounter people that are intoxicated because it is against the law to ski intoxicated. This person, however, was so intoxicated that he had skied off the embankment. He'd skied off the side of the run and passed out to the point where they had to use a rope and haul him back out of where he was in the trees off the ski run.
Now, was he conscious when he was hauled up by the rope?
No, he was not.
He was really unconscious, and being hauled up. Wow.
This guy was so intoxicated. Now, you wonder, how does someone get so intoxicated that they pass out on a ski run?
It's just blackout drunk in the middle of a ski run?
It's blackout drunk. And, you know, the serious side of this is, you know, this guy's skiing. You know how crowded these resorts get.
Yeah.
He's skiing in this state amongst thousands of skiers. So, I mean, it's almost by the grace of God that he skied off the run, passed out. Ski patrol found him. We came and got him and issued him a citation for violating the Skier Safety Act.
I would hope so.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But again, don't ski drunk. Don't ski high. Don't ski on mushrooms.
No. I mean, your level of performance just drops down. I mean, you become stupid.
Yeah.
And you make stupid errors and just stupid mistakes and do stupid things. And don't be stupid on the helmet. We don't want to do that.
I love that, Tom. Don't be stupid on the
helmet.
Just don't be stupid. In fact, we should amend the Skier Safety Act to say, don't be stupid.
Summit County Justice Files is what you're listening to. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, and I'm talking with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons here in the Summit County Justice Center in the Sheriff's Office, and we visit on the radio, too, on Crystal 93 Radio on Thursday mornings at about 7:45. You can catch up with our weekly visit with the sheriff, but here on the podcast, we get to get into it a little deeper.
Deeper dive. It's kind of like deep tracks. This is a deep dive.
Exactly. Well, next up on the Justice Files, it's a theft from a vehicle, and this is a story we just hate talking about in Summit County, but people do it. They leave valuables on their front seat at the trailhead. It's parked. They think it's fine. It might be locked, but you ever hear of smash and grab? Yep, that'll happen, even here in the mountains at the trailhead in a remote part of Summit County. So, yeah, just basically stash your valuables, lock your car.
All that stuff. You know, we talk about this year after year. You know, the beginning and end of every season, even now that people recreate on these winter trails, I mean, I bring it up now in the Justice Files because it's become like a year-round problem. It used to be like a summer trailhead problem, but you know, I don't understand the, I'm going to leave my purse visible from the outside, and I'm not going to know my purse is gone until I get $1,600 worth of charges from my credit card at the local Walmart while I was out hiking.
Yeah.
So, you know, like you said, Tom, lock up your value. Look, you could even say it verbatim because we talk about this all the time.
All the time, yeah.
All the time.
And it's just something that a lot of locals have learned to do, but a lot of visitors and guests, they don't quite understand the consequences if they leave some valuables in plain sight. I mean, that's just a prime target for thieves to break in and steal it.
Yeah, and it's usually these trailheads that are right along I-70. Yeah. So these thieves, they know that it's an easy on. And then all of our trailheads that are at exits are an easy on, easy off. I mean, that's why they're attractive to thieves. So please, lock up.
So I'm sure this lady had a lot of phone calls to banks and various other institutions to try to rectify the situation with her credit cards and whatever else was affected. What's the status of this case?
Yeah, it probably ruined her day.
I mean, I would think so. Probably more than just a day.
You know, sometimes we'll get lucky where, depending on where they use these credit cards, there'll be some video.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we're able to follow that video into a parking lot and get a license plate. And, you know, this one is also currently under investigation. But these transactions, since the theft happened here, the transactions happened in Eagle. So our detectives will work with Eagle County to try to see if they can resolve this case.
All right. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. But we'll talk about other thefts before that, I'm sure.
Yes. Yeah. Summit County Sheriff's Department doing welfare checks around the county. And this is a good thing that the Sheriff's Department does because there are genuine concerns for people in the county. There's a concerned man who requested a welfare check for his friend after getting a strange call from him earlier in the day. What happened?
Yeah, you know, sometimes we get these things where, you know, where Siri will make a phone call for you, you know, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, Siri's calling 911 and all people, the dispatchers are hearing weird things in the background and they think that's a suspicious call.
Uh-huh.
This is where the phone had called a friend, and I imagine it was one of these butt calls, as we call them. And someone just heard a bunch of mobile and thought, oh my God, my friend's in trouble. They call 911. Deputies respond like it's, we always respond like it's the real thing.
Sure.
And get there and find out that it was probably just a Siri butt call. So all's well that ended well on this call. But, you know, be careful with Siri.
Yeah. I got one of those calls just this morning in the studio.
Oh.
We get them on the studio line. You know, I answer the radio station line and say, hey, Crystal 93. And then I just hear
mumbling.
Nothing. Background noise, mumbling, some shuffling around. And sometimes I'll just linger and listen. It's like, ooh,
yeah.
Should I, you know, be a voyeur and to listen to what the conversation is. Maybe it's serious, but usually I don't have time and they're just doing something else. And it's I just said the word serious and my phone went off. He said, no, it's serious, not Siri, serious.
Boy.
See, that app, that'll get you. That'll get you.
Oh, my God.
Welfare checks not only on people but on animals.
Yeah, you know, we talk about this a lot up here where, you know, in the big city, on the news, you always see about people leaving their children in cars, in car seats and forgetting them. People here in Summit County, this is a dog-loving county.
Yes.
You know, our animal shelter, they say, is one of the happiest places to work in Summit County because of all the animals. But, you know, here we get these calls often where people lock their cars, their cars. We wish they locked their cars. They lock their dogs in the car. They don't lock their valuables, but they lock their dog.
They lock the dogs.
Yeah, the dog, I guess it shows you the value of the dog because they will lock it with the dog in the car. But this is one where, you know, we've had some warm temperatures here the last couple of weeks. And a dog was visibly suffering inside of a car where someone called it in. We were able to get inside of that car, and the temperature inside the car was 105 degrees.
Wow.
And when animal control got on scene and took the dog's actual temperature, it was 103 degrees.
Wow.
So this dog was literally on the border of dying.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
And so we were able to find the dog owner. We took the dog. We rehabilitated the dog, found the dog owner, and the dog owner was cited for endangering the health of the pet. So this was a well-deserved ticket.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and the dog survived.
Yeah, that's a good thing, absolutely. Because, I mean, it's just something that you see too much at the ski area, parking lots. We love our dogs. We love our pets. You want to take them everywhere. You can't take them on the chairlift, so I'm going to leave them in the car.
We see them in the express lanes with people thinking it's a passenger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, at least this one turned out well.
This one turned out well. Yeah. Dog's alive. The owner got a ticket. Well deserved.
Quandary Peak. It's a 14er just outside of Breckenridge. Yeah. Deputies assisting with 4 search and rescue missions this past week.
Yeah, this is just this during this time period. You know, when we had just talked about that, we had some warm temperatures here, and we're used to in the spring here, Tom, you and I, that you know to go out early and get done early, whatever you're going to do on the spring snow, whether it be skiing, whether it be hiking, snowshoeing, touring. But sometimes our visitors and sometimes our residents, you know, it's such a beautiful day that you think, you know, I'll go do that. You know, as we all know that we have lots of search and rescues that happen on Quandary because it is listed as one of the easiest 14ers in Colorado, certainly in Summit County. And here is 4 instances in one day where people went up on hard-packed snow, and by the time they got to the top, that snow was now soft, and they found themselves in, you know, hip-deep snow, losing shoes, losing snowshoes. But when, you know, when we have repeated rescues like this, one after the other for the same thing, and these happen all over the county, and with our weird spring weather we've had, you know, you don't say anything's unprecedented anymore because nothing is unprecedented anymore.
Not at all. Colorado mountain weather.
That these things happen, that we get these periods of warm weather that, you know, we're supposed to get dumped on by snow this weekend. And again, people will go, oh, there's snow again.
Let's go out and play in the powder.
Let's go out and play in the powder. And people are going to, you know, now get hurt on boulders hiding underneath that foot of fresh snow.
Right.
Didn't realize it was dirt yesterday.
Yeah.
Or dirt today.
A good amount of snow melt over the past week. It did warm up a lot. So this will be interesting to see how this weekend storm does.
Yeah. And believe it or not, we have dogs that this happens to, too. You know, little dogs don't sink in the snow. But some of these.
The big dogs
we've had
will.
Some of these bigger dogs plop down. So.
From experience, when I first moved up here, I joined up with a bunch of buddies, and we're going to hike buffalo in a springtime hike, and we were going to ski North Chute on there, which was a great hike, and I had a big backpack on with all my gear, and I was a lot heavier than I thought. It did not freeze the night before either.
Oh.
So that last half of the hike, I was post-holing just about all the way up. Crawling, doing belly crawls on the snow, just trying to get out of it and just anything I could. I mean, I made it up eventually and did the run, and it was like, well, that was experience. I've been there, done that. I'm not going to do
anymore. That again.
No, probably not.
Yeah, but you know, you bring up a great point. In this weather we had the last week, we did have those warm nights where it doesn't completely freeze overnight, where sometimes you get a little more time, as you know, if it's staying below freezing at night. Before the sun warms it up by noon, you know, by 11 noon. But this when these things happened, it was that period where, you know, it was in the 40s at night. Which is, I know it sounds cold to some listeners, but that's pretty warm for here.
That's above freezing.
That's like shorts weather.
That is indeed. People be barbecuing, mowing their lawns.
That's shorts and flip-flops right there.
Riding bikes, playing golf.
Yeah, I got some green grass growing at home right now.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
We'll see, getting the garden ready. Shooting range in Summit County had a few trespassers. Was it a couple of guys?
Yeah, a guy and a girl. Okay. So, we have a public range here, one of the really well-known public shooting range here because of the beauty of Summit County.
And the Sheriff's Department trains there regularly.
Oh, we train there all the time.
Yeah.
It's a very popular range. We patrol that range as often as we can, but sometimes we get people up there. It's closed, obviously, after dark. No one's supposed to be shooting or even up there. And occasionally we get calls that people are up there, as we did on this night. And this was that we got a call that people were breaking into storage containers up there.
Ooh, not good.
So we went up there, and they weren't breaking. We did find a couple up there that set their story.
Uh-huh. Remember,
these are the stories. Their story was that they were looking for somewhere to camp overnight, and that they saw some shell casings in the ice, the frozen ice on the ground, and so they chiseled a few shell casings out of the ground. So people do go up there and steal these shell casings to recycle them and make money.
Hmm.
And so, we got them out of there. You know, there was no evidence that they were breaking into anything, and there was no real evidence. All the buckets up there that have collected shell casings were full, so it didn't look like they were stealing those either. But then they left. We kicked them out of there. And then later that morning, we got another call of people up at the range, and lo and behold, it's the same couple.
Well,
yeah, and this time, they had a carload of casings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That were previously in the buckets that you saw full.
Yeah, you know, I mean, okay. I don't think they chiseled them all out of the snow.
Probably not.
And obviously, it turns out they probably weren't being completely honest the night before.
Uh-huh.
Shocking.
Amazing.
Sometimes you would think you'd want to tell the police the truth, but...
No, got to make up a good story so they believe it.
So there was a story. This was the story of, this stuff isn't mine. There was some other people with me, and they took off when the police came.
Oh, okay.
It's the old police. They took off when the cops...
Well, wasn't me.
Oh, my God. but they were issued a citation, and we collected back the stolen items.
Oh, good.
But, you know, these are the odd things that happen here. Shell casings.
Yeah.
I mean.
And you hear about it here on the Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. More relationship issues. It seems like we can't go a week without somebody getting into an argument. These couples.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting is these couples that get involved in what we describe as the cycle of violence. Like mm-hmm. they just, you know, they beat the hell out of each other, yet they can't live without each other. And in many cases, when these cases go to court and they're prosecuted, or oftentimes, or just even arrested, protection orders are issued. So you and I get into a fight, protection's ordered issue that says you and I can't hang out together. And nine times out of ten, we find people hanging out again together. Uh-huh. So this is one of these ones where we got called to another domestic violence of a fight between a boyfriend or ex-boyfriend and girlfriend. And as the cops, you know, deputies were investigating it, it turns out that not only did the male have multiple felony warrants, but there was also a protection order where they weren't allowed to be with each other. So they end up both going to jail for violating. He goes to jail for the warrants and violating the restraining order. She goes to jail for violating the restraining order. And it comes down to, I'm the one that called. And it's like, well, yeah, you called on yourself. You're breaking the law. So,
wow.
This is the case of, you know, these folks can't stay away from each other.
Yeah.
Even when the law says you two are volatile together and you can't hang out together. But you'd be amazed how often we come across people that are sadly engaged in this, what we call cycle of violence.
Yeah.
Where they just can't get away from each other, and even the law won't keep them away.
Wow. Toxic relationships.
Toxic.
Not a good thing, but it makes for some interesting stories here on the Justice Files. The next story, this one just got, when I first heard about this, the highway between Frisco and Breckenridge is Highway 9, and the speed limit is 50 miles an hour, contrary to what other people may be going. A lot of people don't do the 50-mile-an-hour speed limit. I mean, I've even seen sheriff's vehicles, you know, cranking up a little bit over.
Tom, what?
They're
on the way to a call.
Yeah, well, that's what it was.
Come on.
That's what it was.
Come on.
It's interesting when you pull over somebody who's doing how much in a 50-mile-an-hour zone?
So this kid, and I say kid because it turns out this kid's 20 years old.
Oh.
And it turns out that, you know, this is also this stretch of highway you're referring to, Tom, is fondly known as the Gauntlet.
Okay.
Between Frisco and Breckenridge. Because it is pretty much a straightaway.
Yeah.
And people do exceed the 50-mile-an-hour speed limit. And this was two vehicles, two kids, 20 and under, racing two high-end vehicles. And so they were racing down this straightaway. And the deputies that stopped him were doing LIDAR, which is sort of like a radar gun, but it's more focused on one vehicle. And so they only caught this one vehicle, even though they were both racing. But of course, only kids do this, right? When the deputy goes to pull the kid over, they both pull over because they're both like, oh, they got me.
They got
me. They're going to write us both.
Yeah.
And the deputy had to explain to the other kid, like, I'd love to write you a ticket, but I can only guess what speed you're going.
Right.
I can't be certain because you were obviously racing this car, but you get a pass, but your young friend here is going to get a ticket. And it's a summons. I mean, it's a hefty ticket. It's a good ticket. But 102 in a 50-mile-an-hour zone.
That's screaming, just insane.
Screaming. That's just dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why it is a summons, which a summons means you have to appear in court. It's not like you can pay a fine. There's no way around this other than seeing a judge and explaining yourself.
So what is this guy facing as far as fines?
Oh, well, I mean, it'll be up to the judge, but it could be pretty severe.
Yeah, I would think
so. Especially if the judge wants to teach a 20-year-old kid a ticket. But,
yeah.
You know, besides them racing here after hours when it's dark and late at night, I mean, that not only are they endangering themselves, but boy, are they endangering the motoring public.
Well, I know one kid whose car insurance rates are going to go up a lot.
Yeah, if his parents let him drive again, right?
Oh, boy. Oh, hopefully not anytime soon. Well, there are some cleared cases that we'd like to discuss on the Summit County Justice Files. As we talk about some open cases, things get closed and cleared up.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one, you know, a couple of weeks ago in the Justice Files, we talked about a hunter that was passing through the county that had recollections of coming by what he thought was an undisclosed grave in the ground and felt compelled to call 911 and go, oh, my God, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So people do this. Well, this is a case where a guy witnessed a domestic violence. He, in a bar he was working, witnessed a guy beat the crap out of a young woman in a bar 3 years ago. And this guy now is living in another county and decided that he was going to go down to his local police jurisdiction, his local sheriff's office, and report that he had witnessed this crime.
2 years ago.
3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Yeah, in 2022.
Wow.
And that police department here north of us worked with our detectives and called our detectives and reported this cold domestic violence. And our detectives were actually able to get in touch with this victim, were able to get in touch with the suspect and make an arrest in this case. So this victim had photos of her injuries from then.
Didn't she press any charges back
when
it
happened? No, not at the time, but she kept photos.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And she was able to produce these photos and had enough evidence and our detectives were able to piece this back together at this local bar and put this case together and made an arrest in it. So it was great job by not only the witness that came forward, it was a perfect storm of the witness coming forward, the other police department taking the report, now blowing it off, the victim keeping these photos. And then our detectives have been able to sew it all together using all these pieces of the puzzle.
So what would the statute of limitations be on a case
like that? On this, I'm not sure. Again, this is going to depend on the level of assault in this case, but obviously it was within the 3-year range.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know the extent of the injuries in this case, but obviously it fell within the statute of limitations. But that brings up a point. There are statute of limitations to most crimes, and this one obviously fell within that statute.
I think from Dragnet, I learned the only crime that the statute of limitations doesn't apply to is murder.
There's definitely not one to murder.
Murder one. Nope, not getting away with that.
No.
Not at all. That's a wrap for this week's Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, and just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases, and all of our suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, my friend, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, maybe don't. It never ends well, and you might just end up as our next feature.
You can also read the Summit County Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website, the new website. I'm going to call it new for several months because it's still new.
Yeah. It's still new.
SummitSheriffColorado.gov. Until next time, this is the Summit County Justice Files, where law meets laughs and justice always has the final say. And as always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Yeah, let's do this again.
We will.
Okay.